This is a download from the BBC. To download other programmes or for more information, go online.
bbc.co.uk/5live.
Now, Mark Kermode, or even stands up. Mark Kermode, good afternoon. Sorry you put me off there.
Stands out. I put you off from here. I'm not even doing anything.
Now, if you were watching on television earlier, you might have heard this conversation, but it's basically me and him about the Oscars. So this from Catherine, except without these comments. Catherine in Norfolk, has the good doctor arrived with a big smile on his face as Pan's Labyrinth succeeded at the Oscars? So this is the only Oscars chat which is not going to be leading off with Helen Mirren, though clearly she was the big winner. Let's lead off on Pan's Labyrinth, which actually emerged as one of the most successful movies of the night, but just not with the award you thought it was going to get.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a strange mixture of laughter and tears, isn't it? I mean, it did win three Oscars, which is absolutely fantastic. It won cinematography, art direction, and makeup, all of which it deserves, and it was wonderful, and everyone who got up on stage thanked Guillermo del Toro. Unfortunately, when it got to best foreign language film, it lost out to The Lives of Others, which is a German film, which I haven't seen. I hear is a very good piece of work. I have to say, it would need to be damn good indeed to be better than Pan's Labyrinth. And there was that sort of that strange thing that having done so well up until that point, to have victory snatched away from it in that particular category was a bit sad. As you know, my own feeling is that it should have been up there in best film and best director, because I still contend that it is the best thing that I saw all of last year. But three Oscars is extraordinary, and it's wonderful that the Mexicans are coming. It's funny you invoke Lord Putnam there, but I think it is good. People are going to look back on 2007 and remember it as the year that the Mexicans are coming, and that's a great thing.
If someone had taken up the accumulator, which we kind of tentatively offered on Friday, they wouldn't have won. I mean, you got an awful lot of it right.
What did we get wrong? I say we. Is this the royal we?
But, well, I think you were going for Mark Wahlberg over Alan Arkin.
Oh, yeah. No, that's right.
For the best supporting actor. But
partly through wishful thinking, I think, because although Alan Arkin did win, I still think Mark Wahlberg should have won, although one can never, predict the Oscars in terms of what should have won, as we know.
Michael in Cambridge, is The Departed the first remake ever to win Best Picture?
You know, that's an interesting trivia question, and I bet the answer to it is no. I can't, off the top of my head, think what... There must be another case, and I invite our extraordinarily erudite listenership to email in straight away and tell me what the case... My temptation is, however, to say no, I'm sure it must have happened before, because it'll be something like, did The Greatest Story Ever Told or Ten Commandments win... Because, of course, Ten Commandments was made twice... Did the second one win Best Picture? There will be something in the historical mist of time. There will also be something that's really obvious that I'm completely forgetting. What are you looking at?
Mark Webster.
The Titanic's not a remake. I mean, no, it's an interesting... that's an interesting suggestion.
You can actually say it now, Mark. What's your thinking?
I did me semaphore. No, it was Titanic. Magnificent Seven, I was thinking of as well, but that didn't get a Best Actor award.
But in the case of Titanic, you see, A Night to Remember... Titanic is never credited as a remake of A Night to Remember because it isn't quite. I mean, there are several movies that are clearly ripped off of other movies. Mm. But actually, as in terms of a straightforward remake, it is entirely possible it'll be something like one of those DeMilles. But please, Ben-Hur, of course, was made several times, and did the Ben-Hur that win the Wyler version, didn't that win best?
So I think, silent version, wasn't there?
Yes, I think the short answer is no.
That was the short answer, was it?
Listen, I'm just impressing myself.
We're going to be talking television later. One of the programmes that we're going to be talking about is Confessions of a Secretary, which was written by Tony Bazgallop. Hello, Tony, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine.
We're going to talk about that later. Can you shed any light? I don't know if you're a movie fan particularly. Is The Departed the first remake ever to win Best Picture Oscar?
Yes, that and Rocky 2. I don't know.
Here's a sequel. Interesting question, because there are cases of sequels winning Best Picture, and Godfather 1 and Godfather 2. That was when Godfather 3 came out. Everyone said, wow, wouldn't it be amazing if Godfather 3 did, the all three movies, because it was nominated for Best Picture. As far as I know, it's the only one in which the trilogy have all been nominated. Only two of them won. I'm pretty sure that Ben-Hur or something of that ilk will have been...
Someone will tell us.
Because there's the whole gun, go by the OK Corral scenario would probably have thrown up some, wouldn't it? But of course, that's just one story told from several different angles, isn't it? So
yeah, and, Yojimbo...
In all the excitement about Helen Mirren getting Best Actress for The Queen, what was great about the ceremony was the fact that she was presented with the award.
Yeah.
Well, one of the many great things, so well done to her, etc., well done to her, Madge, was that Philip Seymour Hoffman... of whom we have said many great things over many, many years.
Because he is so great.
Because he is so great. But there he is presenting it. And if there's a replay or something, you get a chance to hear it. It's just extraordinary because he is so either disappointed or bored or has just decided to undersell the whole thing because he just goes, the winner is Helen Mirren, it's a queen. It was just a great, you know, come on, yeah, but, sell it, Philip.
But the funny thing is that that's been happening for a while because at the BAFTAs, when Ricky Gervais came on to present, it was something like Best Animation. He opened the envelope and he went, and the winner is Helen Mirren. This is getting silly. So people have been making gags about Helen Mirren, but it's because she has won absolutely everything. And as I said, it started in Venice. And the story is that in Venice, it was a five-minute ovation. And ever since then, the bandwagon has been like, wow. And of course, I would encourage everybody to remember, again at this point, although I have been thoroughly put right by Her Madge herself, that up until that point, nobody really thought it was anything more than a TV film. And I'm sorry, that's the truth of it. I seem to be alone in thinking that it is still a TV film.
And you told them up.
Well, yeah, you know. Unfortunately, at the point that I did tell them, I was genuflecting so far. My head was on virtually on the pavement.
It has been suggested by a very attentive audience that the first remake to win Best Picture was Mutiny on the Bounty, 1935. Oh, okay. A remake of In the Wake of the Bounty, 1933.
Now, how many people sent that in?
One.
Okay, and I think a name would be...
I haven't got one.
Okay, fine. Well, but as
Christopher.
So legends, myths, and vaguely true stories. They're always going to confuse the issue, then, aren't they?
No, but specific remake films. If it is credited, I mean, actually, here's the thing that defines a remake.
It's Christopher in Middlesbrough.
Christopher in Middlesbrough. Yeah. Thank you very much. Here's the thing that defines a remake. It is a remake if it credits the original.
Ah.
Okay, and this is it comes down to SAG credits and all that sort of not SAG credits, Screenwriters Guild credits. If it credits the original, then it is officially a remake. If it doesn't credit the original, then it's a ripoff.
John.
Or it's inspired by a similar story. But if it credits the homage, yes.
John in Oxford says Ben-Hur was a remake.
Yes, that's what
I said. In fact, it's the third cinematic version.
Yes, but my question wasn't whether it was a remake. My question was, did the William Wyler Ben-Hur win the Oscar for Best Film?
Well, I think pardon me for wasting your time, but you're the movie expert. I just read these things.
Yeah,
out.
I know. And being the expert with no access to the internet, I said off the top of my head...
Is that where you get all your knowledge from, then?
No, out of my head.
Via...
No, I'm just asking you to fact check it. My feeling is that it probably did, and I know it's a remake. I know it is, so consequently, because the first version was done in three. Anyway, fine. Yes. So
we do need. Okay, but we do need. Okay, so.
Is it me, or is he being difficult?
No, I think he's like been up all day or something, and all night. I can't tell.
Martin Scorsese, so Best Director and The Departed gets Best Picture. He was being voted for on his back catalogue, wasn't he?
Well, I think as in the short answer to the previous question was no. The short answer to that question is yes. I don't think that anybody with their hand on their heart could say that The Departed is either the best directed film by Martin Scorsese or indeed the best directed film of the year or even the best directed film of the nominees for Best Director. I think Paul Greengrass's United 93, I mean, as we know, I think United 93 should have been in contention for Best Film. I think it is clearly a better directed film and I think that history will prove that to be right. In the case of Martin Scorsese, they have got themselves into such a difficult position because he didn't win and indeed wasn't nominated early on things like Mean Streets. It was just overlooked. But by the time we got into, you know, Goodfellas and all that sort of stuff, he wasn't winning. There is a great Martin Scorsese back catalogue, and every year, or every 2 years, in fact, there'd be a new Martin Scorsese film, and everyone would go, please let it be this time, please let it be this time, please let it be this time. And as everyone will know if they heard the acceptance speech he gave, he played up to that. It was very funny, because he got up on the stage. The first thing he said was, can you check the envelope? Are you sure that's absolutely right? And then he said, everywhere I go, people have been coming up to me and saying, you should have won, you should win, you should win, you should win. So I think everyone knows that it's the award that they've given him for the fact that they didn't give it to him for Raging Bull. They didn't give it to him for Taxi Driver. They didn't give it to him. You know, it's about time.
And the Wyler one did win.
Yes,
in 1959.
So if I can just say, in that case, with you know, from my head, I was completely right. But thank you for making it look like actually I wasn't.
I'm imagining that this is Geraint in Chesham. Wasn't Gandhi a remake of Carry On Up the Khyber?
If only that were true.
Happy Feet gets Best animated feature film for the Dancing Penguins.
You know, Scanner Darkly should have actually won Best Animation, as we know, because it was much more inventive. But of course it was going to go to the Tap Dancing Penguins.
An Inconvenient Truth gets Best Documentary.
Although Iraq in Fragments is a more interesting work. I mean, I have been proven wrong about Inconvenient Truth in as much as it has done what it set out to do. Clearly, everyone has seen... I know people who have shown it to school kids, and they have been inspired to, you know, get off their bikes and do useful... get on their bikes, as it happens, and do stuff about global warming. I still think it's a boring film, and I think it's a PowerPoint lecture. I saw it in Cannes, introduced by Al Gore himself. And
I thought it was good.
Yeah, but, you know, you don't know nothing.
That's absolutely true. We were watching it with a different set of credentials, because it was... when you actually go and interview the guy, it's important to actually have seen the film, usually, anyway. Should the British people be disappointed, given the number of nominations that British actors and directors got, that they only picked up the one?
No, well, apparently... I think one of the producers of the Departed is British, so I think technically it's two, but this is in the same way as saying that when we were at the BAFTAs, the Bond movie actually got two because Ava Green... won the Rising Star Award on the basis, really, of her Bond role. No, I don't think we should be disappointed. Every time this Brits Are Coming thing turns up, you know, we have loads and loads of nominations.
It was Colin Welland, by the way, not David Putnam.
I know, but David Putnam produced it.
I know, but he didn't say it.
No, but are you suggesting that I thought that David Putnam said the British Are Coming?
Yeah.
What's the last line of Casablanca?
Carry on.
Thank you. We got loads of nominations, and that's really good. But every year, there is a lot of British talent. The difference was that this time it was very, very evident British talent. And also, the pack was led by the two dames and Kate Winslet, who are, in the international market anyway, seen as the very epitome of British talent. It was really... remember, when people say it was an extraordinary British showing at the Oscars nominations, what they really mean was that when you looked at the Best Actress category, it was like, wow, look, it's two dames and Kate Winslet. That's really something. And, of course, Peter O'Toole. Incidentally, there was a feeling just before the Oscars ceremony, I read it in a couple of papers, a couple of people saying, you know what, Peter O'Toole is going to win. He's going to win because he's going to get the sympathy vote. And I had been saying up until that minute, of course Forest Whitaker is going to win, of course Forest Whitaker is going to win, of course Forest Whitaker is going to win. On Saturday, I had a bit of a wobble. On Saturday, I thought, hang on.
Not self-doubt.
The shadow of self-doubt passed across, and then I knocked it out into the, you know, out of the, whatever it is, the sports metaphor.
How reassuring.
The ballpark.
The ballpark.
So if I was going to, finally, if I'm going to reconsider and hire a movie tonight or purchase one, just one of the Oscar-winning movies that we've talked about, which one should I go visit? Departed, for example, is just out.
The Departed is just out. The Departed is well worth seeing, although I would suggest to anyone, if you're going to see The Departed, do see Infernal Affairs, because Infernal Affairs...
I can't be bothered to watch one prior to seeing this.
Well, in that case, see Infernal Affairs.
I mean, homework.
Pan's Labyrinth isn't out until a week on Monday. Little Miss Sunshine is terrible.
Oh, that's the baby. He'll love that.
Little Miss Sunshine.
I love it.
No.
I know, because that's Mark.
No.
You really, it's not your world, is it, at all?
It's not my
the
world.
The VW Cabavan, it will keep you laughing until about half past 11 tomorrow morning if you watch that film.
Want to assure you that I went on tour with a skiffle band in a VW campervan whose engine caught fire. So believe me, I am well disposed to like VW campervans.
Anyway, your answer to the question is:
if you had to, you mean of the best film contenders or of anything? United 93.
If I haven't seen it, that's the one that I've
United 93. It is absolutely wonderful. And harrowing and intelligent and uplifting and a genuinely honourable film by a genuinely honourable filmmaker.
Mark, thank you very much indeed for coming in this afternoon.
Am I going then?
Yes, I think you're off.
Thanks for downloading from the BBC. To find other downloads or more information, go online.
bbc.co.uk/5live.